Welcome to From the Cold Corner, a podcast devoted to those impacting the cold food and beverage supply chain. I'm Michael Costa, editor-in-chief of Refrigerated and Frozen Foods magazine, and today our guest is Jeff Rumichick, president and CEO of the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, or NFRA. Welcome to the Cold Corner, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
And Jeff, you're our first repeat guest on the podcast, so congratulations, whatever you want to do with that,
thank you very much.
It's an honor and we had you on last May to talk about how cold foods were being marketed to consumers during the pandemic, and that podcast is available in our archives, which you can find on our website or your preferred podcast feed. Today, we're going to focus on frozen foods in particular. And that coincides with our March issue, which is our annual Top 150 Frozen Foods Processors Report. And Jeff, I know the NFRA works with Nielsen in compiling frozen foods metrics. And Nielsen's numbers by the end of 2020 show a total of $67 billion in retail frozen food sales. And Jeff, now that 2020 has officially passed, what are some of the overriding trends in frozen foods that you observed as far as sales and how they were marketed to consumers during the pandemic?
Well, that's a great way to start. And, you know, NFRA's got a frozen PR campaign that we run on behalf of our industry. And we talk to tens of thousands of consumers every day about our category, inspiring them to discover all the things that it has to offer. What we observed last year is 2020 really confirmed, I think, for consumers that frozen foods are, they're convenient, they're easy, they're quick, they're portioned. Products that fit every lifestyle, something for every meal occasion. They're made with real ingredients. Products that are developed by chefs. They've got a long shelf life. They, you know, you use what you want and you can put the rest away for later. What we saw last year because of the pandemic was that the largest sales drivers really came from comfort and convenience. Not surprising, I guess, if you think about it, but ice cream, pizza, single serve entrees, potatoes really addressed consumers' craving for comfort foods. Convenience stayed relevant, even though consumers were at home, but the snacks and appetizers were certainly important as well as consumers kind of grazed more than normal in normal times rather than eating large meals. Largest gains that we saw were really around innovation. And when I say that, it's really plant-based foods really took the top, and you know, health and wellness remains important to consumers even during the pandemic, but we saw a proliferation of plant-based products really in all categories.
Right. Yeah, and you're absolutely right about comfort food just across the board. It just it probably made, I don't know what percentage of sales that would have made up, but it was substantial with everybody at home and stressed out. And
yep.
And what was your biggest surprise last year as far as frozen foods go?
Well, there are two things that come to mind. Biggest surprise, the first one was incredible growth in the category. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. We know that more shoppers came into the frozen category. We know that sales were dramatically up. We know that, you know, the frozen category has turned around and was on its way back. And then all of a sudden this pandemic hit, we were hearing triple digit increases during the month of March in some categories. And like you had mentioned, right around 2% otherwise for the last couple of years. It's a very profitable department with a 99% penetration. But when was the last time you walked into a supermarket and saw all of the frozen pizzas gone? An empty breakfast section, empty frozen fruit. The vegetables were wiped. I've never seen anything like that in my career. That was a surprise. The second surprise that comes to mind is the demand that was placed on the supply chain that created the out of stocks. You and I talked about this last year, I think, but it was almost like, you know, you took a faucet and turned it off on the commercial slash food service side all at one time. And then everyone went to the grocery store on the same day to try to find things because there was all of this uncertainty around this new thing called a pandemic. And so people were stocking up. There was some panic that was mixed into it. And we never saw that kind of pressure on our supply chain before. It wasn't, I think consumers struggled a little bit because, you know, the industry was saying, we've got plenty of food. There's no problem with our food supply. the challenge was really that you can't just translate or transfer something that's that manufactured and packaged for commercial use or for food service and bring that over to retail. It's just not the same. It's not the same product. They don't sell it the same way in the supermarket. And so I think that was those two things were probably the biggest surprises last year.
Yeah, and you mentioned triple digit increases. I remember distinctly posting something, it was at the end of March or early April, where frozen cookie dough was at 530% increase over the previous year. And it's like, wow, who is stocking up on that much cookie dough?
Exactly. Yeah. But I, you know, it's we're back in business and boy, things are, you know, heading in the right direction. I know we've got some additional questions coming up on that, but yep.
Yeah, and as you just mentioned, what trends that got going in 2020 do you think will continue in 2021 for frozen foods?
Well, one of the things that we saw is cooking at home became really, really important. As a matter of fact, prior to the pandemic, there was a decline at home food spending. And what we saw is that increase had an increase or a spike that we haven't seen in the last two decades. As the restaurant industry continues to open back up, I think that's going to be a question for our industry is what kind of impact that's going to have. Because what we're finding is even though restaurants are opening up and dining out is starting to resume in some cases, people are still pretty nervous about that whole experience and have gotten comfortable with at home and eating and takeout as an example. So that's going to come into play. We've also, because people were eating at home, we see mealtime fatigue, meaning, you know, it's still true that half of people don't know what's for dinner a few hours before dinner's going to happen. And people have been preparing food at home for the last year in a very different way than they had maybe prior to that. What's really interesting, though, and what's pretty amazing about the frozen food category, if you think about it, in an average supermarket, so think about the supermarket that you shop at, an average supermarket has over 3,700 different items. So imagine, you know, that selection, or you're trying to figure out what you're going to have, and you open up your freezer and you've got 3,700 different items to choose from to either, you know, make a meal or as a meal. And so that's certainly a strong attribute for the frozen category. We think strong retail numbers are going to continue to be strong in 2021, but growth might look a little bit different. You know, as work at home might change for people, as schools start to open up and other things start to happen, there's still uncertainty for sure. But the category has, again, attracted new people. We know that. And the question is, you know, what's being done to try to hold those people and to keep them interested in the category? Health and well-being and safety, gosh, that really came to the forefront. It was really a top concern for our retailer members, the safety of their customers and of the employees. So said differently, social distancing. Everybody has social distancing in supermarkets they shop at. You know, we saw aisle displays became a casualty in some cases because mm-hmm. of needing more space and having to create more space. Store cleanliness, et cetera, are things that we saw that we think will continue as well. The millennial population is behind a lot of the better for you foods that we're seeing and trends in. So maybe it's less carbs, maybe it's plant-based proteins, maybe it's gluten-free vegan options. We think those are going to continue that innovation around that and plant-based. We've already talked a little bit about that, but you're going to see more plant-based options across all categories. It started in the meat category. It expanded to entrees, which would be natural or feel natural. And then we started to see it in things like breakfast. And now you're even seeing it in indulgent categories like ice cream.
Okay. And what about e-commerce and direct-to-consumer shipping? That's something that really took off for obvious reasons. Last year, everybody was at home and didn't want to go into the store. What percentage or what, you know, how do you see that fitting into next year as far as being a legitimate delivery device for people who want frozen foods?
Yeah, well, so one of the things that our industry is that the food industry is trying to figure out is what's called the last mile. That's how we would refer to it. and Last Mile Solutions, which plays right in, which e-commerce is part of the solution for. And so e-commerce was accelerated over the pandemic this past year. The studies we've seen say it's been accelerated by 3 to 5 years, meaning the growth in that area has just taken off. It'll continue to grow. We think it's going to continue to grow. What's interesting about the frozen category in particular is that most frozen sales are still occurring in the stores. Mm-hmm. As the industry tries to figure out how to continue to deliver that last mile and how frozens will fit in going forward. So it certainly is here to stay. It's growing better than anybody or faster than most people expected it would be for those reasons.
And we get samples from companies, frozen food companies in particular. In the past year, there were either startup companies or companies who had never done direct-to-consumer before, where they were shipping right from their processing plant. And I think it's a learning curve as far as getting frozen foods from door to door, still frozen. Right. There were a few things that were just, they were completely melted and, you know, had to throw them out. But I think that they possibly want to bypass grocery stores because they don't want to be caught in another supply chain hiccup like there was. You know, I'm trying to figure out is there a cost difference with direct-to-consumer shipping for a company as opposed to going through a grocery store?
Well, think about it this way. Direct-to-consumer on a dry good, dry grocery products, you put it in a container perhaps, or put it in a package with other things that would fit. When it comes to refrigeration, it's a different value proposition. And so, yes, to your point, that's one of the reasons anyway that we think that, most of the frozen sales are still occurring in a supermarket. It gets expensive to try to provide dry ice, as an example, or to package something in some sort of a container that will hold the integrity of that product until it gets to a consumer's home. But it is something that the industry continues to work on, that manufacturers continue to take a look at, and that services continue to try to figure out. Because of the interest that people have and especially because of the need they had to be in their houses maybe and not frequent places like a supermarket as much as they have in the past during this whole pandemic.
Right. And overnight shipping is not cheap either. So nope. But you're shipping frozen foods, I think 2 days might be the limit of what you'd want something out there to be.
I would think that, there's nothing more important to a manufacturer than maintaining the integrity of their product. They want whatever they sell, they want it to be the same as they intended it to be by the time it reaches a consumer's home. And so whatever that means and however that happens, that's what they have a high level of interest in that. So whether it be figuring out a shipping solution so that they can ship it, that's one thing. Figuring out, safe handling practices at a supermarket is another thing. And then how a customer handles that product from the supermarket to their house. I mean, there's all different points along the way that play into that.
And what new frozen foods trends, say that 20 times, do you see emerging in 2021?
Yeah, so we've already talked about one of them, and that's e-commerce and the continued growth there. We also think the demand for full transparency is going to continue to be a trend. People want simple ingredient panels. They want to know where their food comes from. Food's sort of become a badge of values. How was it grown? What's in it? And any kind of a story that's behind it that can help consumers feel more comfortable about their food, we think is going to continue. Sustainability continues to be an issue, especially driven by younger shoppers. The responsibility that a company might have to how that product is not only sourced, but produced, manufactured, and then ultimately how it gets to a consumer's home. And then innovation, we see that's really been the lifeblood of our industry over the last bunch of years, where the industry's turned around. This renewed interest and investment by our manufacturer members in innovating products that are meeting not only the needs of consumers today, but what the needs of consumers in the future are going to be. It's really fascinating to watch and to see. We talked about some of them, like products that would be vegans would be able to find in a frozen food aisle. You know, 5 years ago, you wouldn't find those things, plant-based proteins, that kind of stuff. So those are the things that we see that stand out.
And I wanted to switch gears a little bit and come back to the NFRA. I wanted to talk a little bit about what your plans are for this year and how the pandemic perhaps affected your plans last year, which was your 75th anniversary, correct?
Yeah, it was unfortunate that for lots of reasons that that happened, but we did have a 75th anniversary last year that was somewhat subdued, as you would guess. We're very lucky, though. We consider ourselves to be very lucky. NFRA, we have an all-inclusive membership. All segments of our industry belong. We're financially strong. We're one of the few, we're very proud, actually, of the fact that we're one of the few associations that has a year's operating expense in reserve. I mentioned our frozen PR campaign, we were able to increase our conversations around the frozen category with consumers last year, which positively affected the perception of the category. We highlighted last year our industry's efforts to keep shelves stocked. We shared uplifting stories of how our members were supporting their communities. With more consumers cooking and eating at home, we had this opportunity, this wonderful opportunity to have more conversations with consumers using our frozen PR campaign of all the things that our category has to offer. We adjusted our social media strategy as the pandemic hit to really focus on family recipes, things that could be done at home and activities that could be done together and other things that we did. And this year we're going to expand our PR efforts even more on behalf of the industry. So there are some, you know, we're looking at some different tactics that we can use to continue to expand our consumer voice on behalf of the industry. NFRA sponsors three national promotions: March Frozen Food Month, June Dairy Month, and our Summer Favorites Ice Cream and Novelties. Last year, we were successful in executing all three of the promotions and had great success with all three. This year, we look for the same. We've got great traction with March Frozen Food Month, which is coming up. And it really gives us an opportunity, again, to have conversations and to look at introducing new consumers to our categories. We run an executive conference where we bring our industry together. This year, it's in April. Last year, we transitioned it. We shifted it, as we would say, to webinars. This year, we've actually transitioned it to what we're calling all digital experience. We've got a wonderful program, some great speakers and topics, and that's going to be in April. And then we're hopeful. We're hopeful and we're planning for the NFRA convention, which is going to be held in October in San Diego, that will be a face-to-face experience. Last year it wasn't. We had to transition that to a virtual experience. At the time we were successful with that as well in bringing the industry together to conduct business. But we're keeping our fingers crossed and we're planning for a face-to-face event this year.
And your event last year was supposed to be in National Harbor, correct, in Maryland?
It was, yes. We were supposed to be at the Gaylord National Harbor. And unfortunately, that hotel is still closed.
Is it really? Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Huh. As people would have said last year, unprecedented. But we continue to make adjustments in what we do and how we approach the industry, certainly with not only our promotions, our PR campaigns, bringing the industry together. We've got a wonderful, engaged membership that continues to provide direction to us to help us figure all that stuff out, really. And we'll figure it out.
Okay. And for your events, you only serve cold foods, correct?
You know what? If you at our convention, you would think you're at a black tie event when we do our Taste of Excellence, because it's an elegant what's the latest and greatest in the frozen and refrigerated categories, because we represent both categories. I know we're just talking about frozen today, but it's actually one of the coolest events there are in the entire industry. And I've been in the industry for a while, and we look forward to getting back to some sense of normalcy. I think there's fatigue that's set in by everybody. with regards to the pandemic. It doesn't make it go any faster or go away, or, you know, the solution doesn't come any quicker. It's just this desire, I think, by people to be able to see each other, to have human interaction in a different way, to get back to relationship building and all the meaningful things that built this industry.
And you've answered all my questions. Was there anything you wanted to add or something I missed?
You know, I mentioned March Frozen Food Month. We're coming up on the 38th year of that event. And it's an exciting time of the year where we bring the industry together to, you know, NFRA sponsors March Frozen Food Month. And everybody that's touching the industry should be supporting it and should be participating and involved in it in some way, shape, or form, because everybody wins. It's really an exciting time to be in frozens. It's a big category. It's a profitable category. It's got something for everybody. We're attracting new shoppers, and they're embracing the category like never before. But I'll tell you what, we're very proud of all the segments of our industry for everything that's being done to keep customers safe, to keep shelves stocked. And certainly we continue to be inspired by our members and what they're doing to support their employees and their communities. You know, as I look ahead, I see nothing but blue sky with our industry. I mean, there's this pandemic is there, but there's a lot of blue sky in front of us. And we certainly look forward to working with the NFRA membership to find ways to be better as an industry as we all move to the future.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again for joining us, Jeff.
You know what? Thank you for including NFRA, and thanks for having me.
Sure, for the second time.
Thank you.
And thanks to you, our listeners, or in this case, viewers. If you have any comments or questions, you can email me at costam@bnpmedia.com, and we'll put the email address at the bottom of the screen if you're watching. And if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, or you have an idea for a topic, please let me know. Until next time, this is Michael Costa from the Cold Corner.